WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The night is bitter, the stars have lost their glitter, the winds grow colder, suddenly you're older, and all because of the man that got away.
The 1954 version of A Star is Born starred Judy Garland as movie star Vicki Lester and James Mason as her husband, the has-been actor Norman Maine. Its opening was a much-anticipated Hollywood event. It was director George Cukor's first musical. It had songs by Harold Arlen and Ira Gershwin, and it marked Garland's movie comeback after a four-year hiatus. But shortly after it was released, 25 minutes were deleted from the film to shorten its three-hour length. Since 1983, moviegoers have been able to see a more complete version of the film. It was restored by Ronald Haver, the head of the film department at the Los Angeles County Museum. His new book, A Star is Born, tells a dual story, the making of the 1954 version and the detective work that went into his 1983 restoration. Haver first saw the film as a teenager, and it was one of his primal moviegoing experiences.
The thing about A Star is Born was that it was so beautiful to look at, first of all. It had a palpable impact visually and orally because it was in stereophonic sound, which was very new at the time. Also, I'd never seen Judy Garland before. I think I'd seen her in The Wizard of Oz, and that was a disappointment because they strayed so far from the book. But I had never seen her. I'd never really been exposed to her personality or her singing, which was phenomenal. And James Mason. Now, James Mason seemed to embody everything that I would wanted to have been if I were an adult. And then, of course, it was about Hollywood, which is I was very enamored of Hollywood, and the fact of it looking so beautiful, and they used so many locations around the area. It was a very seductive movie. That's the one thing I can remember about it, was that I just wanted to see it over and over again, to hear it and to look at it.
How did you become aware of the fact that there were production numbers that were deleted, that excerpts of scenes were deleted?
Well, there used to be, back in the 50s, a magazine, a movie magazine, called Screen Stories. And every month they would publish what they would call fictionalizations of the new movies that were being released. I was, as I said, caught up by Hollywood, so I began reading this Stars Born thing, and there it was, and I thought, well, this is interesting, I'll go see it. So when it finally came to my neighborhood theater, all the stuff that they had described, all the scenes that they had described in the beginning were no longer there. Also, in the those days, they used to put stills in the front of theaters. There were several scenes in the stills that were not in the film at all, and they had played the soundtrack album ad nauseum on the radio, and two of the songs were not in the film that were on the album. So I thought, well, there must be more to this. And of course, while you were watching it, some parts of it made no sense at all in terms of continuity. People disappeared. Lines made no sense because they referred to things that weren't in the film anymore. So I began at that point, I think almost within a couple of weeks after I'd seen the film, trying to find the full-length version, trying to see it anyway. And I never did. I never did see it.
Now you know why some of that footage was cut out. Maybe you can tell us a little bit of that story.
Well, when the picture opened, it was 3 hours and 1 minute. It was a very long movie for 1954. So the exhibitors kept yelling and complaining to Warner Brothers, the people that made it, that if it were shorter, they could get in more shows and they could make more money. So Warner Brothers bowed to the inevitable and just took big chunks out of it, 25 minutes. And instead of doing it in an intelligent dramatic manner, they just lifted out whole reels and musical numbers. So when you took those things out, you fractured the structure, and the picture, while still effective, certainly had nowhere near the impact in its full, in its short version that it did in its long version.
You said they took it out. Who is the they that actually made the editorial decision?
That's always been a mystery. After tracking it down and talking to everybody that had anything to do with it, I never could find out who decided what scenes should be cut. The closest I came was finding a handwritten memo in the old Warner Brothers files from some salesman named Barry Richardson, who suggested that they cut all these beginning expository scenes and these three, actually 2.5 musical numbers. But nobody could ever pinpoint to me. Jack Warner gave the order that it should be cut, but he didn't say what to cut. He just said shorten it. So the best I can do is say that this fellow named Barry Richardson is the one that decided that these scenes should be taken out.
The first step that you took toward restoring A Star is Born was to show the movie at a screening, and you made up a brochure, and in the brochure were stills from scenes that were deleted from the film and some of the cut dialogue, excerpts of some of the cut dialogue. This brochure that you put together, it put the word out, basically, that you were doing some detective work on this movie, and that brochure ended up helping you find some of the sound from the film.
Yes, it did. There was a fellow who came to one of the screenings of the museum. We had two screenings of the film. And he introduced himself to me at the time. He was working out at Warner Brothers. He was an apprentice editor. His name was, I remember, David Strohmeyer. He had been so enthused by seeing the film and realizing what was missing that he, on his lunch hour in his free time, started prowling through the Warner Brothers vaults, and he found the complete 3-hour soundtrack to the film. And so this fact that David had found this complete 3-hour soundtrack convinced me that somewhere out there the footage to the soundtrack was, and it was just a question of somebody going through who knew what to look for until they found it.
This was a long search for you. What were some of the places that you looked that paid off?
There were two places. There was after we did check the and found that the soundtrack did exist, the full-length soundtrack, one of the film editors had taken me to a huge subterranean vault underneath the studio. He had some material from A Star is Born there. He let me go through it. There were about 25 cans, and I had to go through it on a little rewind, and I was squinting at these scenes, and so far I'd found nothing. And then all of a sudden, there was one can that had what they call separation negatives, which I won't really get into, but it was basically it's a negative they make of the color record, and you can make as many duplicate negatives as you want. But in this particular scene, it's right after the big preview of her, of Vicki Lester's film, and she is supposed to, according, it's, they have a love scene on the terrace of a nightclub, and what happens next in the cut film is there's a scene in the producer's office where they tell him they're going to get married. Originally, there was supposed to be a scene on a recording stage where she was singing a song, and he proposes to her, Norman Maine proposes to her, and all of a sudden, I was looking at that scene. It was just astounding. I couldn't believe that here was this 3.5-minute scene all ready, willing, and able to be put back into its place. So that was a major find. That really spurred me on, because for the next several months, I went through just about every single can of film that was in that subterranean vault. I didn't find any more for A Star is Born, but the next major find was in the what they call the film stock footage library. Anytime a film is finished, all the unused footage is gone through by the editor, and anything that could be used in another movie, long shots of buildings and things like that, is indexed, and they put it in this stock footage library. So I went into the stock footage library, and they had a card file for A Star is Born, and there were about 400 entries, and there were all the unused takes for the musical numbers, the deleted musical numbers. And there was a great deal of material that had been deleted from the beginning of the film. So we were able to take all of that and use the soundtrack, put it back in where it belonged, and then where we didn't have footage, we would use still photographs of the scenes that were missing.
It must be very thrilling for you to, when you watch A Star is Born now, feel like, yeah, I helped direct that.
Oh, yes, I'll tell you. Having been a movie freak since I was 10, to know that I had something to do with one of my favorite movies, and be able to put it back. And I'm even in it for a brief moment.
Your arm is in it.
My arm is in it. There's a sequence where we didn't have any stills, and we had to re-photograph a sequence that we needed. So somebody had to stand in for Norman Maine, so I just stuck my arm in front of the camera. But it is. I get such a kick out of it. It's hard to explain. I suppose people who make movies will know what I'm talking about. Anybody else, it's almost like, you know, oh, he's off in cloud cuckoo land or something like that. But there's no thrill quite like it.
Well, thank you for restoring it.
Well, thank you for talking about it.
Ronald Haver's book, A Star is Born, is published by Knopf. This is Fresh Air.